Look what the Bible says in John chapter number 1. Verse number 9, that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Now that, in and of itself, that shouldn't be the shock necessarily. It really shouldn't be a shock that the Romans didn't know who Jesus Christ was. It really shouldn't be a shock that Gentiles, by and large, didn't know who Jesus Christ was, didn't know of prophecies, didn't know of the coming Messiah. That's not necessarily the shock. The big issue is verse 11, where it says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. His own people rejected him. And this great nation of people and this great nation with such a great heritage rejected the very one that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob was set aside to produce. And as their rejection of Jesus Christ became apparent, the Lord informed them what the results of that would be. Look in Matthew chapter 21. They rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. They rejected his teachings. They rejected his words. Yeah, at times there was a general following of him, and there was always a crew that enjoyed getting their bellies filled and liked hearing him pop off to the Pharisees and give them what for, because they always seemed to be goody two shoes anyway. And, you know, so there was always a sense in which there were some people kind of like some of those things. But by and large, when it came to his true words that were the bread of life, when he said that my words are spirit and they are life, it just was something that they rejected. Matthew chapter 21 and verse number 43, it says, therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. And Israel is hit with the reality from the very words of Jesus Christ that all the things Paul talked about, all the glorious things that they had and could lay claim to, Christ looked at him and said, I'm going to take them. I'm going to take them from you. Matthew 23 and verse number 38. Matthew chapter 23 and verse 38, as Christ has looked over Jerusalem and seen not only that they had killed the prophets, but ultimately their rejection even came down to him. Matthew 23 verse 38 says, behold, your house is left unto you desolate. Chapter 24 verse number 2, and Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. All of these things, okay, all of the things that Israel could lay claim to, all of the things that identified them as God's people, all the things that showed them their protection of the ceremonies and the services, their worship of God and their history and their greatness as far as their lineage. Paul says, they're blind. They're asleep. They're deaf. And it's because they rejected their Lord. They rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, who came unto his own, and his own received him not. And so Romans 11, the Bible tells us, therefore they were judicially blinded. Romans 11 and verse 7 says, what then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. Paul wrote those words in the first century, and they are still true today. You could still use that phrase unto this day, that they are asleep, they slumber. And all the great blessings they had were suspended and forfeited in their rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we live in a day and age where God's dealings, by and large, with Israel are under a suspended sense. Now, the right and the responsibility of propagating the word of the Lord Jesus Christ is given to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are the ones. It's in the Lord's churches that you see the word. It's not being produced anymore because the word is finished, but it is being propagated. It is being preserved. It is going out. the worship, the ceremonies, the service of the Lord you find under the protection and leadership of the Lord's churches. The many blessings that you could say that Israel had are now being exercised by somebody else. For 1900 years, Israel had no homeland. They were exiled from even the land that God had given to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob. Because of her rejection of Christ, she's blind. She's deaf. That's the reason. Number two, the result. The result of this blindness. So what happened when Israel was blinded? I want to give you four things. Four things that resulted from this blindness. Number one, look at Romans chapter 11, verse 11. Romans 11, verse 11. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather, through their fall, salvation has come to the Gentiles. The first result of Israel's blindness is that during this time, the door of salvation has been opened full scale to the Gentiles. Now, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean that Gentiles couldn't be saved before. We all know stories of Ruth and Rahab, and even Jonah saw a revival of the entire city of Nineveh. So it's not that Gentiles were never saved, but you do see now in Israel's rejection of Christ that the door of the gospel has been opened to the Gentiles on such a grand scale that wasn't seen in the Old Testament. Israel's rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ means that the gospel now goes to the Gentiles. You know, even Jesus Christ explained and recognized the fact that his ministry was primarily for Israel, that he was come to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That continued on in the early days of the apostles. But as their rejection of Christ became more and more prevalent, the apostles, specifically the apostle Paul, would go and would preach to the Jews. And when their rejection was apparent, he would turn to the Gentiles. And you see that in the early parts of the book of Acts and some of the churches that were founded. You see in Antioch and you see in other places, churches that were by and large mostly Jewish people. At the end of the New Testament, it wasn't as much as so. But what a door has been opened. Look in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. This door of salvation, through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles. It's a blessing to know now, and we're going to read in Ephesians chapter 2. It's a blessing now to know that our Gentile heritage does not disqualify us from the blessings and service of the Lord. Look in Ephesians 2, verse 11. Wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. And all those things are true about Gentiles. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them which were nigh, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. You know, I'm grateful, and it is a blessing to know. It's sad to know that it had to come through Israel's rejection of Christ. But due to that, this door has been opened. And now, you know, in being a Gentile, our blessings to God, our blessings in God and our blessings in Christ, we're no longer considered second rate or second class citizens. You know, in the Old Testament, Gentiles could be saved. That's not really the mystery that was there. But, you know, Gentiles, to share in the blessings of Israel, needed to be proselyted. Not anymore. Amen. In the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Gentile heritage does not make us second-rate citizens. Amen. In the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, We're his people. We are the Lord. We are the people of the Lord Jesus Christ who have come unto him by faith. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ has made us nigh, and we're no longer second rate. We no longer have a middle wall. There's not this part where before there was a part of the temple where Gentiles could never go. In the house of the Lord today, in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have full access to his privilege and his blessing and his responsibilities. Romans chapter 11, Paul speaks of us being graciously grafted in to a branch, and the symbolism there is wonderful. We're no longer disqualified from his blessings just based on our heritage, and we're graciously grafted in. That's the first result of their blindness. Result number two is that Israel became the enemies of the gospel. Look in Romans chapter 11, verse 28. It says, as concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. You know, as you read through the New Testament, who gave the gospel the most trouble? Jews. It was Israel that gave the apostles the most trouble, that fought against it the hardest. And that, you know, there's a very real sense in which that blindness today is still striking them. You know, there are people today that can claim a heritage still in Abraham's loins that are totally oblivious to anything that the New Testament has to say about the Lord Jesus Christ. They are enemies of the gospel even to this point. Most of them, you know, you think about people in our country that claim to be Jewish. Many times they're very atheistic in practices. Socially, they are some of the more liberal. You know, generally, if you see a congressperson or a senator that says they are Jewish, they're liberal. They're very anti-conservative principles. They have been and continue in a very real sense to be enemies of the gospel. Turn to John chapter 5. John chapter 5, I want to give you the third result of this blindness. Let's read John chapter 5, verse 43. John 5, verse 43 says, I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him will ye receive. The third result of this blindness is that because they rejected Christ, he will give them a Messiah that they will follow. He will allow them to have a Messiah they will follow. Turn to Zechariah chapter 11. Zechariah chapter 11. And we see here in prophecy, we don't read this like as the Gospels do or as the book of Romans does as history and a story telling what happened. But we see in Zechariah the prophecy of it going to happen. And notice what it says here. In the book of Zechariah chapter 11 and verse 7, it says, and I will feed the flock of slaughter, even you, O poor of the flock. And I took unto me two staves, the one I called beauty and the other I called bands, and I fed the flock. Three shepherds also I cut off in 1 month, and my soul loathed them. So you see there that Israel is given this shepherd that feeds the flock, that fends off the false shepherds. And if that's not a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ and how he cared for his people and came unto his people, I don't see what greater picture you could see there. But notice that after this shepherd feeds the flock, fights off the false shepherds, and says that his soul loathed them, notice this, and their soul abhorred me. The shepherd that actually fed them, the shepherd that protected them, the shepherd that looked out for them, they abhorred me. Then said I will not feed you. That dieth, let it die. And that is to be cut off, let it be cut off. And let the rest eat every one the flesh of another. I took my staff, even beauty, and cut it asunder, that I might break my covenant which I had made with all the people. And it was broken in that day, and so the poor of the flock that waited upon me knew that it was the word of the Lord. If you're still not sure who they're talking about, I said unto them, if ye think good, give me my price, and if not, forbear. So they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver. Amen. The Lord said unto me, cast it unto the potter, a goodly price that I was prized of them. And I took the 30 pieces of silver and cast them to the potter in the house of the Lord. Then I cut asunder mine other staff, even bands, that I might break the brotherhood between Judah and Israel. And the Lord said unto me, take unto thee yet the instruments of a foolish shepherd. For lo, I will raise up a shepherd in the land, which shall not visit those that be cut off. Neither shall seek the young one, nor heal that is broken, nor feed that standeth still. But he shall eat the flesh of the fat, and tear their claws in pieces. Woe to the idle shepherd that leaveth the flock. The sword shall be upon his arm and upon his right eye. His arm shall be clean dried up, and his right eye shall be utterly darkened. Christ came to them as the good shepherd. And he said, their soul abhorred me. They hated me. Jesus Christ came to his own and did nothing but right and true and was honorable in all that he had done, protected and looked out for his people. And they hated him. And they utterly rejected him. And it just seems so wild to the imagination that the very shepherd that did all that a good shepherd is supposed to do could be looked at and just abhorred. No, we don't like that. We don't want that. And so he says, okay, we'll give them a false shepherd. And Israel shall be given a false shepherd someday. The fourth thing, the fourth result of this blindness is that God will yet punish Israel. We live in today, and this is my view of it, that today, as Christ has turned his focus from Israel to his church, and his church is the body with which he does his work in this world. We are the ones that have the authority and commission to do the work of Jesus Christ in this world. The dealings with Israel have for a time been suspended. Israel was not destroyed. They were scattered. They were cast out of the land. Now, Paul even says, has he cast them off forever? God forbid. That's not the intent there. But there is a time period in which we live in where Israel, removed from their land and scattered throughout the world, has basically been pushed away from God's sight. Their punishment, though, still is yet future. The Bible speaks in Jeremiah 30, verse number 7. It gives the familiar phrase, the time of Jacob's trouble. But if you're still there in Zechariah, look at chapter 13. Zechariah chapter 13. I'll just read one verse here just for a broad overview of it, and we'll maybe get back to it in a bit. Zechariah 13, verse 8, it says, and it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts thereof shall be cut off and die. If you've ever studied the Bible and studied what lies in store in the tribulation, you know that things are going to get very bad for this world. Things are going to be exponentially worse for the nation of Israel. Not only are they going to be given a shepherd that they will follow and follow blindly, they're going to find that shepherd turn on them, begin to persecute and revile them. And the terror that they feel and the terror that they observe and suffer through the tribulation is going to be worse than anything that they have ever seen. Israel still stands today as rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. And their punishment for that is still yet future. To restore them and to bring them back to seeing Jesus Christ, I could go through a series of prophecy, but know and study and learn what the Bible says about what is in store for them. And it's hard to fathom. And it's hard to understand. The Holocaust was very bad. And times in their history have been very bad. But there's nothing that can compare to what the Bible says is in store. The result of their rejecting Jesus Christ and the result of this blindness has opened the door for us, but it has set them aside and reserved them for a time of judgment. And be much in prayer. Be much in prayer. Number three, and lastly, recovering from this blindness. Turn back to Romans chapter 11. Because while point number two was the downer, here's the best part. Recovering from this blindness. What should we remember then? Israel, that was at the highest high, God's people, God's nation, that produced the Lord Jesus Christ, that produced the Bible, that had all of these great ceremonies and the blessings and the fathers and the prophets and the kings and the patriarchs and all of this. And so the high was high. The low has been and will be low. But let's remember these four things. Five things. First of all, it was only temporary. Look in Romans 11, verse 1. I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. This isn't a permanent thing. So while I do believe that God's dealings with Israel have been suspended, I'm not generally of the opinion that we as a church have replaced Israel. That's not the theology that I agree with. I don't believe that we have replaced them in their role. Look in verse number 11. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. Now, what does that mean? Obviously, they stumbled. The God forbid part is the idea that the fall and the stumbling was perpetual, that it would be forever, that it would be unending. But rather, through their fall, salvation is coming to the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. You know, one of the reasons that God allowed this to happen and allowed the door of salvation to be swung so wide open for the Gentiles is to make them jealous. You know, it bothers Jewish people that we, as New Testament Christians, speak so much of who they consider to be God. It bothers them that we claim such a familiarity with their God. It bothers them that we use their book in our services. They're jealous. They want to know why we speak so freely of their God, of Jehovah. And it's done to provoke them to jealousy. It's not permanent. Look what it says in verse 15. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall be the receiving of them? What shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? It's pictured like almost like a resurrection someday. So number one, we should remember that this blindness is only temporary. Number two, we should remember that this recovery is sure. It is sure. I briefly referenced some things. I want to take a few more minutes now to cover it. The time of Jacob's trouble is going to be really bad. It's going to be fierce. Israel is going to be given a false shepherd that they think is awesome. They are going to be lulled even further to sleep once they have their temple. And once their services are restored. And once there's not a problem anymore in Jerusalem with, you know, with half the city being Jewish and half the city being Arab or Palestinian or Muslim, use any one of the words that you want to. When that issue gets resolved and they have a temple and they have those services restored, they're just going to stand in awe of this guy. And then he's going to turn on them. Once Satan, the Bible says in Revelation, is expelled from heaven and comes to this earth knowing that he has just a short time, he is going to turn every bit of his wrath and fire against the people of the one that destroyed him. He's going to turn his wrath against the people of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible doesn't say that that's us. He's talking about Israel. Israel is going to be alone, and no one in this world would help her. Turn back to Zechariah where we were. Zechariah chapter 12. You can read in prophecy, you can read in the Bible of what it says is in store for Israel someday. The persecution that she'll face, specifically in the second half of that 7 years. But you read about the witnesses being killed. You read about the martyrs. You read about those that are sealed, that give their lives in the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you see that there is such a fury with which the world comes against her. Listen, you say, I don't know that the world could be, you know, that persuaded to go against them. Now, it wasn't, 70 years ago that an entire nation was convinced to go against them. And if you have someone that even has a smoother voice and better politics, seemingly, I'm pretty sure we could really truly vision the world turning against them. And the world does turn against her. Look what it says here, Zechariah 12, verse 2. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about, when they shall be in the siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. Look at verse 8. In that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as God, and as the angel of the Lord before them. And it shall come to pass in that day that I'll seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. Now notice, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and their blindness is over. Amen. They can see now. They're going to see, they're going to look at the one whom they've pierced, and they're going to mourn. Listen, there's going to come a day, and listen, the Bible says the Lord is going to use the tribulation period and use the harshness that they face to draw them back, to produce in them the spirit of repentance and prepare them to truly receive their Messiah. But when they look at Jesus Christ when he returns, they're going to realize what they've done. And they're going to mourn. And they're going to know that was our Messiah, not this. He was our Messiah and we rejected him. And we put him on a cross. And they'll look upon him in whom they've pierced. And they're going to mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. And I want you to see what the Bible says. As Israel sees Jesus Christ returning, and they see the one whom they've pierced, and they begin to mourn and weep over what they've done, as they begin to remember hanging their Messiah on a cross and rejecting him, and in pain and in sorrow and misery, they begin to be repentant and sorrowful for that. Zechariah 13, verse 1 says, in that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. The fountain of forgiveness is open for them. Look at verse 6, chapter 13, verse 6. And one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thine hands? Then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. And verse 8 says, and it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts thereof shall be cut off and die, but the third part shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried, and they shall call on my name, and I will hear them. And I will say, it is my people. And they shall say, the Lord is my God. Amen. I want you to know that Israel's recovery is 100% positively sure. They will someday look upon the one whom they've pierced. They will mourn. They will repent. They will recognize the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that there was a fountain that was opened. And their blindness, their deafness, and their slumber is no more. I'm looking forward to that. I look forward to the day that the Lord Jesus Christ returns, because we get to come with him. We get to return with the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a blessing that's going to be to see the Lord triumphant in the last day. Let's haste to a close here. Romans 11. So we remember that it's only temporary. We remember that their recovery is sure. Let's remember, thirdly, to be humble. Let's remember to be humble. Romans 11, verse 18. Boast not against the branches. These things should not make us heady or high-minded. We should truly rejoice. And what it says there in verse number 22, behold, therefore, the goodness and the severity of God on them which fell severity, but toward thee goodness. We should rejoice in the goodness of God. I am not happy that Israel had to fall for this door to be opened to us. I'm thankful that God, in gracious and goodness, when Israel rejected, didn't close the door on everybody. I'm thankful that the door was open to us. And by and large now, in this day, we as Gentiles have such an access to God's Word. We can hear it preached. We can see it with our own eyes. We can read it. And when Israel rejected Christ, He didn't just close the door on the whole lot of us and say, be done with it. But the Lord continued His work through His church. And the Word has spread throughout all the world. And we have been great receivers of that blessing. So we don't boast. I mean, there's just, we should be really humble and have gratitude and thankfulness that the Lord was good to us. Fourthly, remember that there's always a remnant. There's always a remnant. Even so, verse 5, then at this present time also there's a remnant according to the election of grace. Verse number 5 says that Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it. There's still some out there that are saved. And we should still do our best to take the gospel to them. Just like by and large in the Old Testament, it was Israel who was saved, and we Gentiles reap some of the blessings and benefits of that. Even today, there are Jews that can be saved. Take the gospel to them. Be a witness to them. Tell them who their Messiah truly is, the Lord Jesus Christ. And fifthly and lastly, I want to tell you to remember and recognize the times. It is obvious that the world's attention is now returning to Israel. The sympathy that they garnered during World War II has basically all but vanished. But that hasn't stopped the world's focus from still being over there. So how could a nation of people that has been scattered for so many years, now in less than 100 years, be receiving all of the world's attention? This world is converging to one point. We would be wise to recognize the times in which we live in and recognize how we ought to view Israel in this world today. Is Israel perfect? No. Their nation, are their policies perfect? No. Is everything that they do right? No. Can we support them in everything that they do? No. But I will remember this, that she's God's. And if she needs to be punished, and when she's wrong, it's wise for us to let the Lord do that and not get involved in trying to correct her and punish her ourselves. And recognizing the times, Romans chapter 11, verse 25 says, "But I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened in Israel till the fullness of the Gentiles be come in." Today, by and large, the Lord has opened this door to the Gentiles. I want you to really take a moment to think, though, and you would be foolish to not see the writing on the wall, to borrow the phrase, that this world's focus is on such a small place in the Middle East that the focus of this world is turned back to Israel, to what is going on over there on a daily basis. There's news articles all the time. Listen, if you can't see where this world is heading and cannot see that the time of the fullness of the Gentiles is almost over, then you're just not paying attention. I would implore you and ask you to consider where you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. We have such a blessing in seeing the door of the gospel open to us as Gentiles. We would be foolish to reject that opportunity. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ today, if you're pinning your hopes on someday seeing the things in prophecy come about, and then as you start to see all of those things come about, then you'll make a decision, or then you'll turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, then you'll repent, then you'll trust Him. And you're thinking about all of those things. And I'm here today to tell you, I'm telling you that Jesus Christ has come. Amen. If you won't believe me now, are you going to believe signs and wonders then? I can tell you from God's Word who the Lord Jesus Christ is. I can tell you today that you have wonderful opportunity to trust and to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't pin your hopes on the future. Don't pin your hopes on tomorrow. Today, will you hear the Lord? Will you repent of your sins and trust the Lord Jesus Christ? I am thankful that we have had the opportunity to hear the gospel. I heard it so many times in my life before I truly came to repentance and faith. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that this door is open, and it's open wide for us to hear. I wonder and I doubt that there's anybody here today that could hear the gospel and it would be the first time that you've heard it. But in case today is your last day on this earth, I want you to know that Jesus Christ came to this earth and died for sinners. I want you to know that that includes all of us, Jew, Gentile alike. We are all sinners. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's not a single one of us that are deserving or able to make it to heaven on our own. We need the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And today, by faith, you need to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and acknowledge and recognize that without Him, there is no salvation. Any good, anything that you bring in your hands or in your pockets to try to offer Him, that's not where it's at. The Lord Jesus Christ shed His blood to save sinners, and that is our only hope of salvation. Would you come to Jesus Christ today with nothing to offer and nothing to bring and simply trust the Lord Jesus Christ and what He has done?